listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
If you would, take your Bibles and let's turn to the middle of the Bible. How many know what the middle of the Bible looks like? That would be the book of Psalms, pretty much the middle of your Bible. So if you turn to Psalms 139, we're going to read a few verses this morning. I'm going to touch the presence of God, if we can, in a rather unique way here today. So Psalms 139, verse number 7, reads this way. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee? The psalmist says, from your presence. Right out of the gate, I would like to say that we as a church have been on an intentional journey now for quite a few years. So those of you who are newer to the journey, I want to help you to understand what the journey looks like. We as a church, we here at Cornerstone Church, seek to be a presence-driven church. That is, a church that endeavors to pursue, follow hard toward the presence of God. Unless we have the presence of God, we are simply a social gathering. What distinguishes us from any other organization or gathering is that we as a people seek the presence of God. And I'm going to dive into that and help you to try to understand what the presence of God would be. So, if we as a church are a presence-driven church, that would mean a presence-driven church needs to be filled. Hear me carefully now. We need to be filled with people who are individually pursuing the presence of God. How many have an understanding that we individually make up what we are collectively? So as we as individuals pursue the presence of God, the end result is that we corporately, we all together, are a church pursuing the presence of the Lord. So somehow each of us has had to make the conscious decision, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to go that way. We're going to pursue God earnestly. And this kind of mandate, I might add, makes some people nervous. And I want to dispel that feeling this morning. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 17, he said, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Church, it's about getting to know God better. How many have a desire to get to know God better? And I'm here to say we can get to know him better this side of heaven. We don't have to wait to get to heaven to get to know God better. So with revelation, we can arise and aspire to a new level. Let me share with you Peter's revelation in the New Testament. Peter said this of Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." You remember Peter saying that? And with this revelation, it took Peter to a new level and a new purpose with his life. Revelation is connected to the subject of the presence of God. And the presence of God will take us places that we have never been before. This is a ride, church. This is a good thing for us to aspire to. David said these words, "Cast me not from your presence, O Lord." In other words, David could not live outside of God's presence. It was so important for David to be in the presence of God. The presence of God makes us different and takes you above and beyond. Let me give you a bit of a definition out of the gate here this morning and help you understand that the presence of God comes from a Hebrew word, Shekinah, which translates into the dwelling or setting and denotes the presence of God as it were in a place. It means to look inside and to come to a person or place. And there's an upside and there's a downside to this matter of the presence of God. Can I tell you this morning that Adam hid from the presence of God? Do you remember that in the Bible? And then Jonah, he ran from the presence of God. So to hear the psalmist say, "Where shall I flee from your presence?" brings up a very, very interesting point. And we as human beings, anybody here like that? We are human beings. And we're subject to the humanness that we have been given. We often tend to justify our actions, our behavior. And to hear us justify in our own words, it sounds like all we're doing is innocently trying to free ourselves. Maybe from some hassle that we've gotten ourselves tangled up in. Maybe somebody's overbearing control in our life. Or maybe it leads to the idea that we need to quit our job and stop listening to our parents or whatever. It's where and why we are deliberately avoiding certain relationships and complications with that. But often what we're really doing is we're running. And we're running for all these things. It's like running from the presence of God. And running from the presence of God has never been a good idea. If you look into the Bible, you'll see that people got themselves in a lot of problems because of that. And I want to give you some biblical examples of that. I've already mentioned Adam. Adam, he thought if he hid, God would not find him. Think about it for a minute. Adam was linked to and with God in a very special way. How many know there was a time period in Adam's life where he never experienced sin? You get up in the morning, he's fellowshipping God in the garden. They have a very interesting link. God is downloading into Adam his very being, his understanding, his knowledge. And Adam is in a wonderful place with God. But at a point in time when Adam sinned, that link was broken. And his best answer was to hide from God. That's all he could think about. Then there was Jonah. How many remember Jonah? Tell our kids the stories of Jonah. When Jonah didn't like the sound of what God was saying to him. And what was God saying to him? That is, get up from where you are and go to Nineveh and preach the gospel to these Ninevites. And the Bible says that he rose to flee to Tarshish, the opposite direction from the presence of God. What the Bible says. Then after finding a ship that was heading in that direction to the far reaches of the known world, Jonah chapter 1:3 says this, he paid the fare and he went down to it, that is the ship, with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. So, two times in this verse, it says that Jonah went away from the presence of God. I would guess, I wasn't there, but I would conclude, no doubt, that Jonah had heard King David's psalm read many times in public gatherings. The words would be this, the 139th Psalm, verse 7, says, where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. And your right hand shall hold me. I'm sure Jonah had experienced those verses in his mind. But when a person is intent on rebelling, their thinking can get all messed up. Of course, that's not you, right? How many know when we go our own way, our thinking process gets skewed? I mean, how messed up is it to think that we can run away from God? How messed up would a person be to think like that? Who in their right mind would ever feel like they could do that? And that brings me to my third example. The first was Adam. The second was Jonah. And the third one is sometimes we do. Sometimes we do. Maybe it's a relationship that you have allowed to develop into something more serious, which is unrighteous. And you know it. But you think that you can somehow hold on to that relationship that isn't right outside of God's presence. Maybe it's a lifestyle choice that you're making which isn't right. And you feel convicted about it, but you pretend that you can maintain it. It's like in some little pocket of the world where God won't see what you're doing. Whenever you begin to harden your heart against the truth, you start believing that you can do things you absolutely can't do. You can grow deceived enough in your own twisted logic that you actually become convinced you can hide from God. And that's where our two Bible characters came to in their life. But remember this. I want you to always remember this. There is no place that exists outside the presence of God. Nowhere. How many know God is everywhere? Today is a good day to remind us of this simple truth. And if it is less obvious to you, let me just say, stop running. Stop hiding. And start realizing what? That the presence of the Lord is not something to escape, but to embrace. This morning I want to give you, this is kind of an insert. It won't take me long, so when I say 10, don't get nervous. I want to give you 10 benefits of being in God's presence. And I've given these to Heather. She's going to put those up real quick like. They're not in your notes, so you can jot them down real quick. I want to give you 10 benefits this morning to remain and stay in God's presence. Number one, God's presence will produce confidence and faith in your life. Scripture says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Found in Romans. The second benefit is wisdom. Proverbs says, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver, and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Number two. Number three, a benefit is peace. How many know we need peace in our lives? Isaiah 26 says, You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Number four, benefit of being in the presence of the Lord is joy. Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. Wow. Number five, not yielding to the flesh. How many know that's a big problem for us? But we're in the presence of God. That's our counterbalance, not yielding to the flesh. Galatians 5 says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Number six benefit, spiritual strength and encouragement. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Psalms 105 says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Number seven, divine rest. Psalms 37:7. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. Another verse says, are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I will do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That's pretty powerful. Let me give you the eighth benefit. You get desires that please God. You get desires. When you're in the presence of God, you want to be like God. Scripture says in Psalms 37:4, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. The Message Bible says it this way, just keep company with God, and you'll get the best. Number 9, benefit, help during troubled times or days. I don't know what you know about the day in which we're living, but it's pretty much a time of upheavals. Here's what God says about that. Psalms 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Can I give you the 10th benefit? And with that, I'll be done. Boldness. Boldness comes when you're in the presence of God. It's kind of like being around Big Brother. I think I've told you about my cousin who is a bigger guy than I, and I can get beat up all the time. I'd like to be with him all the time because he took care of me. I was a little runt, and he took care of me. Here's what boldness does and says. Acts chapter 4, verse number 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. That's pretty powerful stuff, church. You might want to ask yourself some questions this morning. Like, what are some of the first clues that indicate that you're not thinking clearly? This could be over a certain action in your life or habit which is affecting your relationship with God. Then, what are some practical steps today that could prevent you from losing your spiritual senses? You might want to begin by admitting God's omnipresence is a blessing. Just to be with him all the time is a good thing. And it's a sign of God's infinite power as well as his encompassing love in your life. I want you to thank God that he will never abandon you. Sometimes we walk away. Sometimes we do that silly thing. We walk away. But how many know God doesn't walk away? Aren't you grateful? He doesn't walk away. I want you to realize this morning he wants to surround you with his comfort and his care so much that you could never be separated from him. The presence of God is real, church. And we are a church. We're a body of believers. We're a company of people that pursue the presence of God. Because God wants to talk to us again. God wants to remove our fear and our shame. Do you know what? He wants to requalify you today. Can I say that again? God wants to requalify you today. So we desperately need his presence. Right? I want you to stand with me, and I hope this has helped you in the journey. How many can see that we as a church, we're not gonna apologize for the presence of God? I mean, that's our life. Jesus is our life, church. We can't apologize for his presence. We're going to pursue his presence. We want to enter into his presence. And in the last remaining moments, we're going to worship. And then if you want to come forward,
have special prayer this morning in that regard, but we're just going to conclude to be in the presence of God. If you must go to get kids, that's understandable. But if you can just weigh in with us for just a few more moments and just love on the Lord and hearing what God has said to you personally about where you're at, finish turning that corner and lift your hearts and exalt Him in worship. So lift your hands this morning.
Listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.